Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Hey there, friends, and welcome to another episode of the GC Podcast. You're hanging out for a few moments with your podcast buddies, Anthony and Joe, and we are entering the month of August, which in part gets labeled as the dog days of summer. That puts a bad name on dogs, doesn't it, Joe? But what are the dog days of summer? They are the most heat and hot, oppressive days of the year. So, Joe, I want to know, how do you stay cool this time of year?
Well, it's only by the grace of God that he's created me to be cool all the time. So,
No, you didn't.
Pretty cool. I'm sure my teenager is rolling her eyes if she's listening to this right now.
Oh, I sure hope so. Please.
Well, you know, some of the things that I do to stay cool, I just lay down on my couch in shorts and a t-shirt under the AC vent. That's all I do. I just stay as still as possible, so I sweat as less as possible. But in all honesty, me, you know, my wife and three kids, they are water bugs. They absolutely love the water. So we tend to spend a lot of weekends at the neighborhood pool or at my parents' saltwater pool. And to be stereotypical of our Australian friends, we fire up the Barbie and slap on some sunscreen on ourselves and enjoy the pool and eating some grilled food. And it's a really good time.
Man, it sounds like it. Is it possible, Joe, to be addicted to air conditioning? Because I think I may have a problem. My engine runs hot, so I love air conditioning. So I crank it out. And fortunately, my wife and I are on the same page on this, because I know sometimes husbands and wives have challenges what to keep the temperature in the house, but we keep it cool, man. We're right there with you.
Yep.
Well, in this episode of GC Podcast, we're going to continue our year-long focus on the Faith Avenue, theme being Faith Forward. And I interview David Borum, who's the pastor of the GCI congregation in the Seattle, Washington area. Shout out to the Northwest. And he talks about the role of the Faith Avenue champion. From your perspective, Pastor Joe, how do you see the Faith Avenue champion fitting into the healthy church movement of a local church?
Well, I think, Anthony, it's important to understand the purpose of the Faith Avenue champion, and we need to understand the purpose of the Faith Avenue first. And the purpose of the Faith Avenue is to provide spaces for the local church to go deeper in their faith and deeper in relationship with one another. So with that in mind, the Faith champion is the one who speaks into the leadership team of how to get people connected into smaller community, organizing intentional spaces like connect groups, and most importantly, being the individual who supports facilitators and helps gather and develop appropriate resources for facilitators. It's that Faith Avenue champion is the one that can help create the space for people to live in community, not just in a community.
Mm. Yeah, that's well said. As we've talked about often on this podcast, we've got to be more than a Sunday to Sunday congregation.
Word.
That there are spaces for relationships to really go deeper, because it's so difficult on a Sunday morning. So thank you for that good word. And we're looking forward to the words that David Borum shares with us. So let's listen to this episode about the Faith Avenue champion. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and it's a joy today to welcome today's guest, David Borum. David is the pastor of the GCI congregation in Kenmore, Washington. Today, we're going to be talking about the role of the Faith Avenue champion, a role David had as an elder in Eugene, Oregon, before accepting an offer to become the lead pastor in Kenmore. David, thank you for joining the pod. And before we get into the topic at hand, why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about you? Who's David Borum?
Well, Anthony, thank you for having me, and for your listeners, it's a pleasure to be here. You know, I did not grow up in Worldwide or GCI. I was a part of a church growing up where my grandfather was a pastor as well. And so that has always been in my background, that faith something going on. It didn't really take hold. I didn't really understand any of it until I was about 16 years of age. And that's when I really understood and felt the pull of the Holy Spirit in my life. And this was growing up in Eugene, Oregon, actually. And but I had been through a lot of different things, a lot of changes, a lot of different churches, a lot of different backgrounds. And it wasn't until about 2012, I believe, 2011, where I actually started to encounter Grace Communion International and heard about it for the first time. And I really felt that on my journey that God had taken me on, that this felt like home to me. This really felt like where I needed to be. And so God would have me in this process to where I just felt the call of pastoral ministry, but I kind of ignored it for a long time. I kind of pulled a Jonah and just decided, nah, I can't see myself doing that. But God finally had the last word, and I just felt that pull to where I'd heard about the resident program, the intern program, and decided that's what I needed to do. They put me into the residency. From there, it really confirmed that this was going to be a calling. This is the ministry that I saw God moving me forward into. And so now I've been, after I've completed my residency, about a year later, I became the lead pastor out here in the Seattle area. And I've been here for, well, right at 6 months now. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
God seems to have a good way of getting the last word, doesn't he? I mean, he seems to be pretty proficient at that. And we're glad you answered the call. And even though it's early in the process, we are so grateful for how you are joining Jesus in his ministry. So let's get to it, David. The big picture. How do you see the role of the Faith Avenue Champion fitting into the overall concept of healthy church?
Yeah, I believe that the Faith Avenue Champion is indispensable to having a healthy church. And really, this is the person that should have their very specific burden for the maturation of the congregations. As you know, we've been called to by Jesus to make disciples, and this person should have that unique oversight over how that's taken place in our churches. It's this person's, really, it's their finger that should be on the pulse of discipleship and how the church is carrying that out, how that process is working within the church.
Maybe what we can do is reduce it down to your own words instead of the big picture. Just what is a Faith Avenue Champion? Let's just say somebody's listening today and they are just getting familiar with the concept of these three avenues, faith, hope, and love. What is a Faith Avenue Champion? What do they do? What are the key components of the role?
I would say ideally the Faith Avenue Champion is someone who's vitally interested in the growth of the congregation's spiritual life. And as such, this person has a desire to really connect people together with, I think, the common goal of learning more intimately how to live out this life that we have in Christ. And it's the Faith Avenue Champion that looks for those with a similar passion to facilitate these groups. As a Faith Avenue Champion is not somebody who's doing all of the ministry, but they are also enlisting others that have a similar burden to see that happen. You know, and it's somebody that also should be in communication with the pastor to inform that person of what really what's going on, of seeking guidance from that pastor, looking for those that are currently not in any connect groups, but know that they need to get connected into the body, get plugged in somewhere. And that tries to find out what the unique interests of the congregation are. Let's say you have a church full of people who like to bowl. You could have a connect group centered around a bowling team or riding motorcycles or a book club or knitting groups. The opportunities are endless.
Mm. So prior to being called to the lead pastor position you're currently in, you served as a Faith Avenue champion in Eugene, Oregon. What would you say was your job description and the focus of your energies?
Well, this really took place while I was still in my residency. And so Pastor Tim Sitterly, who now is the regional director out here on the West Coast, but as the senior pastor, he basically turned me loose and asked me, you know, what were my passions? What did I want to see really take place in our congregation? And the thing that really jumped out at me was connect groups. It's something that I had been involved with extensively in a lot of other churches over the years before I got to GCI. So for me, it was a no-brainer to fit into that role where I felt the Eugene congregation was doing a really good job with Bible studies. And in the past, they had had a book club that had been going. But there were certain things that were not currently happening. And I saw it as my role to really start to, you know, kind of jump in and not just to start something, because we all know it's easy to start something, but maintaining that momentum and getting that interest over time. Because as we know, life gets busy and there's a lot of other things that vie for our attention. So I really wanted to start something that I felt a lot of people were wanting to do, and that was a book club. And so we studied everything from The Shack. We did a book by Brené Brown. We did some others, as well as a book by Pete Enns called The Bible Tells Me So. And I think what happened through this is through the discussions, you started really seeing where people were at. You really got a sense of where their theology was and where things might need to be corrected. You began to see people who began to be leaders through the discussions. You saw people that had certain burdens for this. And so that kind of was my role, is to make sure that we kept those things going and the Bible studies continuing. And a big part of that was just communication, staying on top of it and making sure that people were being recognized and being plugged in and given opportunities within those groups.
If I understood you correctly, as the Faith Avenue champion, you were also leading or facilitating one of these connect groups, the book club. And I have found as a facilitator, I really want to get people talking as quickly as possible to each other, not to me, to each other. Could you talk a little bit about how you do that as a connect group facilitator in the Faith Avenue?
Right. And what can happen and what does often happen in a connect group is you're going to have the temptation, because you are passionate about it, to talk the whole time. And just to start dispensing out knowledge, and you get wrapped up into it, is to overcome that temptation to fill the space for everybody. And instead, ahead of time, to be prepared and to have questions for the group, and open-ended questions that forces them to answer. Now, within that context, you have certain people that love to talk, and they're going to raise their hand and be the first person that wants to speak, and they'll cover the room as well. And, you know, the temptation there is to let that person go. But again, you need to recognize that there are other people who don't respond well to that when somebody takes over. And so sometimes it means being proactive of calling on people that are the quieter voices in the room first, to set up that expectation that, look, this is something that we want to get everybody involved in. And you're always going to have those people, I think, that will choose not to speak, and that's okay. But it's just recognizing that people should have the opportunity. And again, when you're looking at these groups, you're also you're also seeing who are those that are engaged, who are those that are on the edge of their seat, that have really good comments, that you see them interacting with the other people in the group, and you know that, hey, here's a person that could easily take over from me and should be taking over. And so I gave a lot of opportunities for people to challenge them a little bit and saying, hey, how about for this next week, we have you lead the discussion. And you kind of coached them in that a little bit. And some people really, really took to it. They really appreciated given the opportunities. And now they're the ones leading those groups as we speak.
I really like what you said. It helps you identify emerging leaders and those that could eventually take your place as you mentor them and guide them, which leads me to my question. We're talking about the Faith Avenue Champion. And the last thing we want, David, is for it to be Faith Avenue Champion centric. You know, we talk sometimes about being pastor centric, where everything kind of funnels to the lead pastor, and we want to avoid that and build out teams. So let's talk about that. What steps, what concrete, tangible steps did you take to build out a Faith Avenue team?
Well, I think it went back to, first of all, when initially I'm contacting people and I'm finding out what their interests were, what they wanted to do. Even from those initial phone calls, you would hear it in somebody's voice where they were so excited, they were passionate about it. You just got them to open up more about that. And those right from there, you could kind of tell who were going to be those that could really begin to facilitate as well. And so that was kind of the first step, was calling people, finding out what are your interests? What if we did this? What I know there's certain people in the congregation that have this interest. And from there, once those groups get going through communication, constantly checking in with people, constant emails. Again, as I mentioned, there's so many things that vie for our attention. And so we have to be intentional about communication. But as the groups are formed and as you're seeing that participation take place, it becomes apparent very quickly that you're seeing people who are really engaging. You're seeing people begin to speak to others in the group. And as they do, you're seeing, okay, this is leadership potential here. This is leadership material. And that's where even right away you start to, as you're modeling for them, you know, this is what facilitation looks like. This is how you get discussions going. This is what you do when the conversation bogs down or nobody has any input. And when people are watching you do that, again, begin to have conversations with these people who you're kind of targeting as those who you'd see really have a heart to facilitate and to take ownership of these groups. So again, it's through that modeling, it's through them being able to spread their wings and make mistakes. And you know, if they run out of things to say, that's fine. This is not about perfection. This is not about having everything go just right. And we learn far more from our mistakes than our victories anyway. And so it gives people the chance to see that, hey, it wasn't the end of the world, when things didn't always go as planned. And I think through that gives them even more confidence to know that, okay, this is what we need to work on. And this is what I'll do differently next time. And then as you see that people are really competent in what they're doing and they're enjoying it, is to begin to say, I'm turning this over. I'm now either going to take a back seat or I'll start another group. But how do you feel about this being your baby? And maybe we'll partner with one other person to help you in that. And so, not stepping completely away, but just letting them know, hey, you're still there. You're still in their corner. The pastor's still in their corner. whatever resources they need, any way that we can help a Faith Avenue, as someone that's running a certain group, that we're available.
Yeah. You know, you did eventually step fully out of it because you accepted the role as lead pastor in Kenmore. I'm curious, David, what steps did you take to mentor and prepare the Faith Avenue champion that took your place in Eugene? Could you talk about that?
Yeah, that's a tough one, you know, because the person that I was seeing as the Faith Avenue champion really became somebody that stepped into the role as now the lead pastor there. And so that one's a little tricky.
You did some really good mentoring if they just became the lead pastor, just jump right over the Faith Avenue
Champion. They missed a step in there somewhere, and they played hopscotch right over the Faith Avenue Champion into pastor. So yeah, what I can speak about here where I'm at currently is we are trying to get a handle on the different avenues up here in the Seattle area in Kenmore. And so I have been meeting now several times with our advisory team. And I've gone to the very basics of this, of letting them know this is what a Faith Avenue champion looks like. These are the roles. These are the things that would be expected. This is how the pastor would help that Faith Avenue champion. This is what connect groups are. And so we have a few different connect groups that I've gotten up and running since I've been here. We're all doing this on Zoom, of course, with COVID. It just lends itself really, really well to doing Zoom. Plus the fact that we've got people in this area that are so scattered out that to get somewhere in the Seattle traffic when people are off work, that's pretty difficult. So having Zoom has been great. Meeting with my advisory team, we're going to be meeting in the next couple weeks where people I've asked them to come up with some names, have some suggestions. Once I've fully given the description of what a Faith Avenue champion is, what they do. We've kind of gotten that narrowed down now. And once we decide and we've been praying about it, then I can approach that person and start to do some training there where I can start actually have more hands-on experience with that person. And so that's kind of where we're at here. I'm excited for it. I you know, again, I've been involved in connect groups and Faith Avenues and other churches for a long time. And to me, this is a real lifeblood for the church.
Amen to that. And we don't want the Faith Avenue to be just another box that people check off in GCI churches. It truly is about discipleship and personal formation and the formation of the church. So let's make it real. What kind of impact does a healthy Faith Avenue have on the overall relationships in the church and in the neighborhood?
Yeah, I think first of all, in the church, you know, it's on Sunday mornings that we have usually about an hour and a half that the congregation meets, and there's parts of it that are participatory, you know, as far as worship, as far as communion and praise and prayer, but by and large, we don't have the deep discussions individually that take place within our Faith Avenues. So I think it gives us the Faith Avenue gives us time to really develop relationships on the church on a level that we're not normally going to see on a Sunday morning. You know, I think back to in Eugene, I was talking with one of the members there after we were in a connect group for a while. And this person mentioned to me, they said, you know, and they were talking about another person in the group. And this person said, you know, I've gone to church with this person for like 30 years And I never knew this about this person. I never knew this mm-hmm. part of their life. I never knew that they were interested in this or that. And imagine that. You've gone to the same church with somebody and you've known everybody in that congregation for 30 years, but there's people that you don't really know. And through the Connect groups, through the Faith Avenue, this does give people the opportunity to develop relationships that a Sunday morning just doesn't lend itself to. And I think for the second part of your question about how does it impact the neighborhood, and this is where you can have certain Connect groups. Again, I kind of briefly mentioned a few of them in passing about interest groups. Let's say you have a softball team or a bowling team. You have people and you need to fill out your roster. And that can be friends and friends of friends that none of them go to your church. And so you have this mixed group of people, even in a book club. You're you know, Brené Brown, like I mentioned, you know, a best-selling New York Times author. People in the community that don't even go to church read her books, and you can invite people in the community for that. You can put out flyers that, hey, this is what we're doing, or we're having arts and crafts for the next 7 weeks, and you're inviting from people in your general neighborhood right there in your audience and in your that are basically the audience of your church. They are close to where you live. And so those groups have a vital role as well as reaching into the community and inviting them into what the church is doing. There's a church out here that that every Saturday afternoon they're picking up trash in the local parks. And so they've put it out on Craigslist or the community page on Facebook that, hey, if you want to join us, our church is picking up trash in the park. And that provides so many bridge building opportunities with the community. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a model of ministry, David, called team-based and pastor-led. The pastor, of course, leads in the church, but the pastor doesn't need to be doing everything. That's why you have a Faith Avenue champion. But talk about the relationship between the Faith Avenue champion and pastor. What makes for a healthy relationship and a supportive atmosphere for the local congregation?
Yeah, I would say the more that the pastor and that Faith Avenue champion can get together and to really have a heart-to-heart about the vision for this, because it can look very different compared to what somebody has built up in their mind of how they want to see this going compared to where the pastor or the leadership sees it going. And that needs to be understood ahead of time. That needs to be understood, communicated right from square one. There needs to be an understanding of what's going to take place, what is expected. And then again, as that person can agree with that, that there is communication, constant communication. And again, it's not, I'm not referring to micromanaging, but I'm also not referring to just completely letting somebody run loose and having no supervision. But it really boils down to communication. There has to be an understanding of, again, what's expected, what's going to go on. And also for the pastor to reassure the Faith Avenue champion that, hey, you know, my doors are open. My phone is on. If you need resources, I can get you the resources. If you need help, I can get you help. If you're at a loss for ideas, I can help you with that. So again, I think a lot of this really does fall on the shoulders of the pastor to reassure, reaffirm, and to really be the champion for the champion.
Hmm. I want you to think back on your time as a Faith Avenue champion. You know, we've been talking kind of high level, this is what it looks like, but let's speak to the heart a bit. What encourages you the most as you look back over your time at how the Spirit was at work in the discipleship flow of the church?
Yeah, for me, this is this is so easy. It's the most memorable thing is witnessing certain people during these groups, where in times of deep discussion, that as we're discussing either a passage in the Bible, whether it's been in a Bible study or a book club or something of that nature, where you see the lights come on for somebody and they just have this aha moment where you can tell in that moment they're getting such revelation from God that you just have a feeling this is going to impact them going forward in a huge way. So for me, it's seeing the light in their eyes. It's seeing that they're getting those aha moments. They're having an encounter with the Holy Spirit where something deep is resonating with them and where you've seen that it's been transformational. And to me, when you leave a group after that, you're just on this high. You just feel like, okay, you know, this was all worth it. All of the planning, all the preparation, all the praying into this, all of it's all worth it.
Yeah, and as I think about that, David, we want everybody to experience that in the congregation and those we serve in the community. I'm just curious, how did you go about inviting in intergenerational ministry? Meaning you've got a mix of olders and youngers and everybody in between. Can you talk about the diversity, say, of that Book Connect Club that you had?
Yeah. And it is interesting to see the different perspectives from somebody in the group who's 80 years old versus somebody that's 22. Because I think it's very healthy. I think you're seeing respect on both sides. You're seeing people begin to understand instead of them looking at each other going, oh, okay, boomer, or, well, you're just a millennial, you don't know anything yet. but these groups that were intergenerational, it gives you the time to really express yourself and to really put yourself out there. And as people listen and not interrupt, and they listen to your life experiences, again, whether you're growing up now in your 20s, in the year 2021, it's very different than growing up in the 50s, in the 40s, you know, and the life challenges that come with it. And so as you begin to spend time together, as you begin to be in the same space, it does lend itself to a lot more understanding, a lot more openness, and to be able to pray with each other, to be able to worship together, to be able to have those discussions together, I think has been extremely healthy.
Well, David, we're so excited for you and what the Lord is doing in the Seattle area, the conversations that you're going to be having with the potential Avenue champions, with your advisors. We're praying for you, brother, and I thank you for your insights here today. Is there anything else that you would like to share about the role of the Faith Avenue champion?
You know, I would say, you know, if it's something that you're considering, if it's something you're thinking about, is to really think outside the box. To, if you're a Faith Avenue champion, is to really start thinking about who's in your congregation, thinking about what their interests are, thinking about the different ways that you might be able to work into the community with that. For those, I would also say that are not part of a Connect group at all, that are not participating right now in a Faith Avenue group, is to, you know, to get plugged in, find out what is available in your congregation. Because I really have to say this, that if your experience begins and ends in your Christian life on a Sunday morning, then you really, really are missing out on the depth that I think we were meant to have in our Christian life with our brothers and sisters.
Well said, and a good close. But when I say close, that doesn't mean we're done, because there's one last thing we need to do, David Borum, and that is seven rapid-fire questions. So what I'd like for you to do is to answer the first thing that comes to the mind when I ask you these questions. I hope you're willing to play along. Say you will.
I will. I'm scared, but I will.
I've got you right where I want you. All right, David Borum, first question. Your favorite song to play on the guitar?
Gosh, you know what? This is going to be crazy, but I'm going to say Bark at the Moon by Ozzy Osbourne. There it is.
Folks, now we know the real David Borum right then and there. What is your favorite wine?
I would say it's a GSM blend. And for those that don't know what that is, it's a Grenache Syrah Mourvedre. And it's heaven in a glass.
For those of you that don't know David, he's got a background. He's an expert in wine, as you could just tell. So I've never tried that, but I'm going to take your word for it. The third question, tell me a pet peeve.
A pet peeve is electronics when they don't work and they're supposed to work. I lose it. I completely lose it. And I know it's probably a small thing, but when the internet connection goes off or my Netflix doesn't work just properly and it won't show the program I want to see, I've got no patience for it. None.
Well, I'm so glad the technology here at GC Podcast worked. We'd seen the worst of you. All right. Tell me the best state, Washington or Oregon?
Oh, you're going to get me in big trouble here. they are so similar, but there's a lot more people in Washington. Best state for what? You give me one.
Just plead the fifth, David. I didn't even expect you to try to answer it.
Oh, I love them both. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. One thing on your bucket list.
One thing on my bucket list, I want to go on a safari in South Africa. And there's so much to do there. Go on those wonderful beaches. There's mountains to climb. There's safaris to go on. I just want to go on a South African adventure.
That sounds good. Yeah. If you could own a yacht, and I know you can't on a pastor salary, but if you could, what would you call it?
I would say charis, which is the Greek word for grace.
Nice. Good answer. And finally, the most enjoyable aspect of being a pastor?
I think getting, you know, during COVID, it's been tough, but I have a few times where I've gotten to meet face-to-face with the congregation at this point, and being in somebody's home, eating cookies, and just laughing, sharing stories, hearing about their life experiences. That to me, that is awesome. I love it.
Good stuff. Well, David, thank you for being with us. Excellent insights today. It's our practice here at GC Podcast, End with Prayer. So I'm going to invite you to pray over our churches, our pastors, our Faith Avenue champions, if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely. Loving Triune God, we want to pray for our pastors. And if there are churches out there that are struggling, trying to figure this out, that are trying to come up with a plan for Faith Avenue and for their champions, let it be revealed to them. And thank you that it's on their hearts to see this vital ministry go forward in their congregation. So give them wisdom, give the leadership, the advisory teams, the wisdom, and for the people to step forward. Let it be clear to them, to the leadership, to the pastors, that there are certain people that you are right now equipping for that very specific and very important role. And for those that are coming into this, those that are becoming and those that are Faith Avenue champions, that you give them a mind that is creative. You give them a heart full of love for their congregation, because that is vital, that they want to see their congregations not just grow in numbers, but more importantly, just maturity wise and people to be discipled. This is what it's all about. So be with the relationship also between pastors and Faith Avenue champions, that it would be strong, that the communication would be there, and that they would work together. And those that need to step up, and those that have been timid, but yet they sense a calling, just as I have felt in the past, may you work with them, give them the boldness, give them the confidence, give them the strength going forward. And we pray all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Amen.
Joe, it seems to me David described the situation facing many of our GCI congregations, trying to identify who the Faith Avenue champion will be, and then certainly developing a plan to equip this person. So what advice would you give to a pastor in the same scenario as David Borum outlined in his congregation?
Yeah, it's a tough one. It really can be. I believe that each of the avenues are very unique in nature and require unique people for each of those avenues. And with the Faith Avenue, you know, to speak directly to the other pastors, and this is from my own personal experience, after I kind of got the conviction of the Holy Spirit through various podcasts and books about leadership. If you want your leaders to do or be something, then you need to be doing or being that thing. If you want a praying leadership, you need to be praying. If you want people to be missional, you need to be missional. And if you want deep, authentic relationships and have a thriving connect group, then start, lead, and be in a connect group, at least for a season. And I think as you do that as a pastor, you will start to be able to see those people that have a passion for connect groups and building community within the church throughout the week. And, you know, I know our denomination uses the acronym FATE, but recently I heard somebody have a different acronym. Actually, it's FAITH, F-A-I-T-H. And it's very similar to the acronym FATE that we use to identifying people, but it's being faithful. Is this person being faithful? Are they showing up, and have they been showing up for a while? Are they available? A lot of times David Borum kind of talked about that's the issue that they're kind of running into, was that some people just are not available to help. Do they take initiative? Are they self-starters? Are they teachable? And do they have a heart of God? I think that's, whether you use the FATE or FAITH, whichever it is, that's a good tool to really identify that champion. And if you don't think that you have anybody in your church, in your congregation that is that, then, man, start your connect groups. You may have to be that FAITH champion for a season, and then really develop people.
Well, that's a good call up for all of us as leaders, Joe. You know, as I've heard it said, it's impossible for a leader to lead others to a place he or she has not been themselves.
Right.
So in other words, if you're not doing it, it's hard to lead others into it without being a part of it. And we are team-based, but we're still pastor-led. So the team needs to see the pastor involved and engaged in that way. So thank you for bringing that challenge. And if you're a pastor who is looking to better equip a Faith Avenue champion, for instance, or any Avenue champion or ministry leader for that matter, we have an exciting announcement. Grace Communion Seminary now offers a Diploma of Christian Ministry program designed specifically for Avenue champions in mind. So tell our good friends more about it, Joe.
This is such an exciting thing that GCS is providing. The GCS Diploma program has 7 classes, including a Bible course, theology course, and practical ministry courses. The classes are fully online. Now, that may scare some people, but some people it's like, oh, that means that I can get some of my Avenue champions plugged in, and they don't have to go relocate somewhere. And it's what a great way to learn about Christian leadership with other Avenue champions from local churches. And if you're interested, you can complete an application at gcs.edu/admissions.
I love seeing that come together because seminary should be practical, right? It should prepare you for the real work of ministry in a local church setting. So friends, we really appreciate you listening to GC Podcast. And in next month's episode, I'll sit down with my good friends Charles and Carmen Fleming to discuss the role of the facilitator in a Connect group setting. I hope you can join me. If you like what you heard today, give us a rating wherever you listen to this podcast because it really does help get the word out for others to join the conversation. So until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.